Remember when I talked about True Diagnostics True Age Test? Well, I took it myself and the results blew my mind. I was very wrong. If you remember, I was worried about my brain and not my cardiovascular health. And it turns out my brain's fine, but my cardiovascular health needs work. But luckily, my biological age was really right on track with my actual age, which is good because research shows that if your biological age is even just 5 years older than your actual age, your risk of developing diseases like cancer or heart disease can jump by as much as 30 to 50%. That's a big deal, and it's completely avoidable. The good news is nearly 90% of biological aging is in your hands. It's driven by things like your lifestyle, your habits, and the environment you're in, which means that you have a lot of control over it. The True Age test didn't just give me a number. It showed how quickly my heart, brain, liver, and immune system are aging, and it was eye-opening. And I will say, I definitely picked up the workouts after I learned that my cardiovascular health isn't as good as I thought it was. The test itself was super easy and convenient. I did it from home, and it was just a quick, painless finger prick that I made Ethan do because I was too scared. You send it off in a tiny sample in a prepaid package, and in about 2 to 3 weeks, you'll get a detailed online report about your aging and health. So if you care about protecting your health and want to find out what your real age is, head over to truediagnostic.com and use my code ATTWG to get 20% off your entire order or subscription. That's truediagnostic.com and use ATTWG at checkout to get 20% off. Your future self will thank you. Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, you can build the perfect wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your dynamic, personalized closet. And the styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. Then when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out for more new-to-you styles. So I've been using Armoire and I'm actually wearing one of their shirts right now as I'm recording this, and it's a great idea. You don't have to commit to buying the clothes, but you can really start to explore your own personal style. Like if there's a trend or something that you've been wanting to maybe try but not commit to, this is absolutely perfect. Because if you don't like it, you just put it back in the bag and get something else. Because we've all been there. You open your closet, and even though it's packed, you feel like you have nothing to wear. And with Armoire, that's a thing of the past. They make it effortless for all women to turn heads with stylish everyday looks. You can rent high-quality designer clothing for any occasion, and it's all tailored to your personal style. Plus, you don't have to do laundry, and you don't have to go shopping. It truly could not be any easier. And right now, my listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month, which is up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/ATTWG. That's armoire.style, armoire.style/ATTWG to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today. We sleep better when we sleep cool. As the weather is getting warmer, staying cool while we sleep will be top of mind. Organic and natural bedding sleeps cooler than cheaper synthetic alternatives, and they last longer too. A fresh season calls for a fresh start, and that includes your bed. From seriously soft organic cotton sheets to breathable silk and luxurious down duvets, Avocado Green's bedding makes it easy to reset your space sustainably. Perfect for hot sleepers in warmer months, Avocado Green sheets and duvet inserts are naturally breathable and help regulate temperature, so you sleep cool, dry, and comfortable all night long. Avocado bedding is thoughtfully designed and expertly crafted for lasting durability. From reinforced stitching to premium long staple organic fibers, every detail is made to stand the test of time, wash after wash, season after season. We sleep better when we sleep cool, so head to avocadomattress.com today to save 10% on all bedding and 50% on clearance bedding. Avocado, dream of better.
Darkcast Network. The light shines brightest on our indie podcasts.
Hey everyone, it's Kona. I am alone today, and I'm not here with a new episode of our show, but I am here to bring you something really special. As you probably know, we're part of the Darkcast Network, which is a mix of indie, true crime, and paranormal podcasts. And today, I want to introduce you to one of our newest members. It is Hands Off My Podcast. Hosted by Jasmine Castillo, this podcast covers cases that are near and dear to my heart. So it's the underserved communities, LGBTQ plus members, BIPOC, missing and murdered Indigenous people, etc. The story that she's bringing us today is the story of an Indigenous Canadian man named Colton Pratt. Colton was last seen on November 6, 2015, on a night out in Winnipeg with an unidentified woman. Though his phone was later recovered, Colton has not been seen since. And that woman he was with, even though there was a picture of the two of them on his phone, she has never come forward and still hasn't been identified. It's been over 7 years, and like so many family members of missing Indigenous people, Colton's family is struggling to get attention on his case. That's why I am proud to bring you this episode of Hands Off My Podcast covering the disappearance of Colton Pratt. Thank you for listening, and we will be back soon with original episodes of our own.
Hola, my beautiful humans. This is Jasmine Castillo, and I bring stories and cases from the people of color community, bringing awareness of murdered and missing Indigenous women, girls, Two-Spirits, the LGBTQ community, Asian American, Pacific Islander, Black Indigenous people of color. These are their stories. So, welcome to Hands Off, my podcast. So even though today is the last day of Pride Month, don't think that I'm going to stop right there. Like I mentioned to my listeners, I will continue on bringing awareness to the LGBTQ Two-Spirits and all my brothers, sisters, and non-binaries in the people of color community. So let's get into it. Here's a little bit of history in regards to Two-Spirit. In the 1970s, queer Indigenous people began organizing around the Indigenous identities and cultures. This is a way that they reclaimed their traditions, and this was their response to erasure and racism that was against the queer community. In 1987, the queer Indigenous people were part of the Second National March, the March to Washington for the Lesbian and Gay Rights. This was also around a time that AIDS pandemic was growing, and the criminalization of sex between two consenting men in the USA. It became more aware that the queer people of color, they found themselves on the margins of this movement and how it was devastating the Indigenous community. In the summer of 88, this was considered the first formal gathering, and it was called the Basket and the Bow. This was a time that the Two-Spirited people all across the Turtle Island came together from USA to Canada, to the Minneapolis, Minnesota American Indian Center. And since then, all people across the Turtle Island come together every alternate year. The term Two-Spirit did not become official until 1990. A North America Native gay and lesbian gathering was held in Manitoba. It was actually introduced by Fisher River Cree Nation Elda Myra Laramie. This doctor, through a vision of hers, prior to the gathering, shared her vision, the ability to be neutral through the lens of having both a feminine spirit and masculine spirit within one's body. And what Dr. Laramie said, quote, "It is sacred, and it is more than just words. It is spirit, heart, language. When two spirit is used, it invokes our sacredness and reminds us that we have always been here and we will always be here. As a result, with Two-Spirit comes a great responsibility to those who use it. As we walk and work in sacred way with and for our people, end quote, Two-Spirited, which described a wide variety of nation-specific genders and sexualities. So in part, in effort to reclaim tradition, Indigenous people sought to find a word or phrase that originated from the Indigenous community, and this was to replace the colonial term, which I will not say. It was frequently used by anthropologists and non-Indigenous persons throughout the 19th and 20th centuries. And of course, this term was considered, and still is, a derogatory, and it is quite offensive to the Indigenous people. Although this term varies between Indigenous languages, but this describes the third and fourth genders, as well as homosexual people. It can also be used as a wide range for nation-specific genders and sexualities. The use of this term by people who are not Indigenous is considered cultural appropriation. Even though this story is about the celebration of Two-Spirit people of the Indigenous community, I would like to direct you to the Queer Events Education. This website provides individuals, companies, and organizations with the insight, tools, and understanding to create environments that are Two-Spirit, lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans, and queer plus inclusive. They provide consulting, training, and custom education services for organizations as well as individual. Another special conversation that I like to hold with my listeners is that not only am I talking about Two-Spirited persons of the Indigenous community, I would also honor MMIMB, which stands for Missing and Murdered Indigenous Men and Boys, based on a website that holds statistics of Canada. This is a National Statistical Office of Canada, and it was updated in July of 2021. Homicide rate for Indigenous people are 7 times higher than for non-Indigenous people. At the time of this story taking place, the information that was from the Statistics Canada documented that 745 Indigenous female homicide victims and 17,150 Indigenous male homicide victims. That's 14 and 17% of all male and female homicide victims in Canada. What brings it to more reality, that in Canada between 1982 and 2011, 15,000 total murders took place. And out of those, 2,500 of them were murdered Indigenous people. And let me ask you if you know the percentage were considered men out of the 2,500. I'll give you a moment. Give up? 71% of that 2,500 were men. Almost 2/3 of Indigenous homicide victims were identified by police as First Nations, 62%, while 4% were identified as Métis and 9% as Inuit. The Indigenous group was not identified for 24% of all Indigenous homicide victims. So what can you do to honor and celebrate missing and murdered Indigenous men and boys? Well, we can honor missing and murdered Indigenous men and boys on Father's Day, or also reflecting and honoring on November 19th, which is actually the International Men's Day. And of course, knowing that the month of November is filled with remembrance of missing and murdered Indigenous people, and celebrating, educating, and supporting the Native American Heritage Month. Colton was born in Calgary, Alberta, and his parents are Lydia and Pernell Pratt. This is Colton Pratt's story. Lydia's from the Long Plain First Nation, and his late father, Purnell, was from Sioux Valley, Dakota Nation, Manitoba. He grew up in Winnipeg, Brandon, and Long Plains First Nation. A little history on Long Plains First Nation from the Long Plains First Nation website. They are a proud Ojibwe and Dakota community in the Central Plains region of Manitoba, situated on a land based on 10,800 acres. Long Plains is comprised of a main reserve and urban economic zones situated along the city limits of Portage la Prairie and in the city of Winnipeg, resulting from treaty land entitlement under a 2011 settlement. Current members of Long Plains First Nation is over 4,600 between three reserves, equating to 64 square miles or, like mentioned, 10,800 acres. His family was filled with many aunties, uncles, cousins from all sides of the family, as well as an extended family from the Sioux Valley, Brandon, Swan Lake, Turtle Mountain, and Winnipeg. Colton had three sisters and one brother. One of the things that I really enjoyed reading on is the beautiful family that he has, the bond that he has between him and his sister, Jocelyn. He was very fond and kind and considerate to her and children with special needs. His family gave him the name Skyman from the Bear Clan. Colton is Ojibwe in Dakota and comes from a praying spiritual Anishinaabe tradition and Christian family. Just reading about his personality just makes me glow. From what his family says, he was funny. He loves a good joke. He always wanted to have fun and is famous for his laugh. Colton loves music and he loves to sing karaoke, which is one of the things that I enjoyed myself, and actually won a few singing contests, having a wonderful voice just like his dad. Colton was outgoing, cheerful, intelligent, friendly, just a wonderful person to be around. Colton was a person who loved film study and had volunteered at various events. He always surrounded himself with native music giants in the industry. I would definitely love to meet him someday, but at this point that I am recording, he is currently missing. Colton is considered to spirit, and he had let his family know for a few years and accepted and loved him unconditionally, and while growing up was happy and content child, but one that has always dealt with bullying and cruelness because of his sexuality. There was times that he had to deal with constant negative experiences in high school at the Portage la Prairie by his peers because he was two-spirited. And like I mentioned before, it is extremely hard to find any information on missing and murdered Indigenous people, specifically two-spirited persons. Eventually, I did find a timeline, and unfortunately, it's very short, but please bear with me because it is imperative that we know as much information as possible to bring him home. So on November 6, 2014, around 9:30 p.m., Colton was at a hotel called the Marlborough Hotel, downtown Winnipeg, one night. He was to believe, from what I have read in articles, that he was at the bar at the Marlborough Hotel in downtown Winnipeg on the night he disappeared and may have gone to another hotel with a woman and a photo. And the photo, I mean, is apparently Colton used his cell phone to send a picture of himself to his mother on the night he disappeared. And in that photo was a woman, still currently unknown. And this cell phone was later found downtown. No Colton. The family was trying to identify the woman that also appeared in this photo that might have clues to his whereabouts. Colton's cousin has posted this photo on Facebook, sharing it nearly 1,000 times, and no one has come up or responded on who this woman is. While at the bar inside the hotel, he was seen talking to this unknown woman, and at this point, hasn't been questioned. I will place this picture in the show notes. After this encounter with the woman, he was alone and heading towards Ellis Avenue. Police previously released photos that were taken from a surveillance video at a liquor store near that location. On Friday, November 7, 2014, around 12:20 to 12:40 a.m., Colton was possibly sitting at a bus station on Main Street in the north end of Winnipeg around that time. A security camera footage from that bus station does show a man that looks similar to Colton as two other individuals approached him and who have not been identified. This actual footage hasn't been released, and this bus station was about 37 minutes on foot from that hotel. This is the last footage of Colton, and he just disappeared. Knowing in my heart as a mother, you always seem to feel like there's something off, especially when your children stay in contact with you. And I know that Lydia had felt a stir in her heart that something was amiss. And because of that, she began to search and to reach out and to find anyone and whomever who was able to help her find her son Colton. She reached out to the Winnipeg Police Department and began the search immediately the following day. Friends and family gathered downtown, passing out flyers on November 8, 2014, the following day of him missing. And as time went by, 1 year, 2 years, third anniversary, the Daniels at this point were not even sure if the investigators are investigating her son's disappearance as a missing person or a homicide, just based on how much time had passed. At some point every day, Lydia cries out for her boy, Colton, and as more time passes, the fear begins to sink in. They had spent the last 8 years not knowing where her son has gone and what had happened to him. And while Lydia talks about her son's disappearance, it is so difficult because sometimes you continue to open up those old wounds. She is so hoping that one day someone will come forward with any information to finally give her closure to the answers that would give her some peace of mind. And as she continues her search, she would love to have people focus on her son's disappearance and hope that more people will start to focus on the issue of missing and murdered Indigenous men and boys in Canada. So in January of 2016, Lydia created the project called the Necktie Campaign. This raises awareness for the missing men and boys. While there's awareness campaigns for women who have vanished, which includes the Red Ribbons, for missing and murdered Indigenous women, there wasn't anything for missing men. So early in January, she and her friends attached men's neckties to the bridges of Long Plain Reserve and around the hydro poles in downtown Winnipeg. Her and her supporters placed nearly 100 ties. She even placed ties around the bus station, the last place Colton was seen. Lydia stated, quote, "We chose the tie because we feel that it symbolizes the ties that bind us to our children, to our missing men, and it connects us to each other," end quote. One of the other things that the Daniels family were able to do with the partnership of Canadian Center for Children Protection and the Patterson Signs, they were able to display signs in Winnipeg. On April of this year, Colton's Facebook page was updated with Jacqueline and Lydia. They provided an update that recently had a meeting face-to-face in regards to Colton's filing with the Winnipeg Police Service, believing that they were going to receive an update of suspects or any other additional information in regards to his disappearance. And unfortunately, the police service is in the process of suspending the case because they do not have any current evidence or proof, and they have exhausted all in the investigation of Colton's disappearance. They believe that if there is any information out there that somebody knows something on what happened to Colton, In a video, Jacqueline, Colton's aunt, had mentioned that there are moments of suspended grief. Suspended grief is not being able to put an end to grief. It's hard to function through the day. It's hard to live life. And they have dealt with other losses in their family. This one especially is hitting them hard. And to have the constant lingering of suspended grief because of the disappearance of Colton. Let this family have their peace. They are asking you to come forward with the truth, and they pray for you to come forward. Only that person and the Creator knows what has happened to Colton. They want to give him a proper burial, a goodbye ceremony. Please let the family have that. Even if you have to reach out to me, anonymous, I know it's weighing on your heart heavily. Whoever knows something, let the family have peace. Do not carry this burden. Please tell the family where they can find Colton so he can be buried in the tradition. Jocelyn is one of Colton's sisters. Jocelyn loves music, loves taking pictures, and enjoys making videos. She took it upon herself to create a video in dedicating to Colton, pleading for him to come home. She created this video for her brother, telling him that she misses him so much. She loves him, and she actually created a song that she sang throughout the video while there was moments of her crying, saying that her brother is gone and that she misses him very much, and to have him come home. Jocelyn has Down syndrome, and she and Colton are about a year apart, and due to her challenge, Colton and her basically grew up as twins. They were very close and shared a lot of fun, mischief, and laughter. The Daniels family had this to say, quote, "We always have hope that he's going to walk in the door, but holding that hope is what makes this never go away for us," end quote. So here are my theories on what might have happened. So here's my question. Are there any updates on a person of interest or possibly someone identifying who the unknown woman is in the picture? Unfortunately, no. 2015, there was an old news story that has continued to circulate as new information. It isn't. This person that was identified a long time ago. And for now, there is nothing new to report. Colton's status remains unsolved, and he remains a missing person based on the Winnipeg Police Missing Persons Unit. Another question is, what happened to the person that reached out on the tip, or has there been any other more people contacting law enforcement on Colton's disappearance? From what I know, based on what Jacqueline and Lydia identified in the Facebook video, they did have someone reach out to them a while ago. However, it panned out that that person had misinformation on what had happened to Colton. There was actually even a comment on Facebook that there was a person out there that did know Colton's whereabouts, but she was afraid for herself. And what became of that? And I'm thinking to myself, is that the same person that reached out with the misinformation? More questions than answers. Another question is, were the buses running that late at night? Early morning in Winnipeg? So if Colton was at the bus shelter or bus station at that time, buses run from 6 a.m. until past midnight. And unfortunately, a lot of weird stuff goes on down in those areas, especially around the bus shelters at night, when people know buses won't be going by and there won't be people there waiting for the next bus. And even though the Winnipeg identified that the regular services are generally running between 6 a.m. until past midnight, these bus routes don't operate 7 days a week. Another question is, have the police released images of the people they think were accompanying him? Could they have also been staying in the Marble Hotel? At the Marble Hotel, if you look it up, it has quite a mixed review. based on some sources, but from what I've read with other persons who are familiar with that area, that some people do stay overnight as traveling guests, discover to become long-term residents, and possibly live under some sort of government subsidy. So in conclusion, from what I've been able to find, the police have not released the descriptions of the two people that were seen with him at the bus shelter. I believe that information is going to be staying quite close to the chest with the Winnipeg Police Service. And if you want to have a far reach of an explanation or possibility, would these people possibly be staying at the hotel? Based on some more information on comments on people who've gone to the hotel or live in the area, the Marlborough is a little bit sketchy area, yet it's pretty close to the Bell MTS place, which is where the hockey and concert arena is located, and there's a lot of shady stuff that goes down in that area. Here is a description of Colton Pratt. At the time of his disappearance, he was 26 years old, born August 13, 1988, went missing November 6, 2014, from Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. He is 5'10", of First Nations descent, Ojibwe, originally from Long Plain, First Nation. He weighs approximately 160 pounds, has short brown hair and brown eyes, last seen wearing a brown plaid jacket, gray t-shirt, blue jeans, and a gray toque, which is a hat. Behind each ear, he has a star tattoo. Almost 8 years of anguish for Colton's family. His mother, his aunt, his brother, and sisters. All they want is closure. All they want is to give Colton the proper goodbye ceremony. To whoever you are, to come forward, no matter the smallest detail of information. Colton's family is very concerned for his safety. If you have any information regarding his disappearance, please contact missingkids.ca at 1-866-543-8477 or Winnipeg Police Service at 204-986-6222. I will have all this information in the show notes. Thank you for listening to Hands Off My Podcast. If you are enjoying the podcast and you'd like to support the mission, I do have a Patreon membership that will help the cause and bring more detail on cases and stories from the people of color community. If you yourself has a lost loved one, or a story suggestion, please don't hesitate to contact me at email, handsoffmypodcast@gmail.com. And if you are only able to support in another way, please give this podcast a 5-star rating on Apple or Spotify and continue to listen to upcoming episodes every Thursday, wherever you listen to your podcast. Dios te bendiga.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.